Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 268, stanzas 1 through 4. All people that on earth do dwell, sing to the Lord with cheerful voice. Him serve with mirth, his praise forth tell. Come ye before him and rejoice. 268, stanzas 1 through 4.
scripture reading for this afternoon can be found in the prophecy of Hosea, and there of chapter 11. But first we read the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Hosea 11. When Israel was a child, then I loved him and called my son out of Egypt. As they called them, so they went from them. They sacrificed unto Balaam and burned incense to graven images. I taught Ephraim also to go, taking them by their arms, but they knew not that I healed them. I drew them with the cords of a man, with bands of love, and I was to them as they that take off the yoke on their jaws, and I laid meat unto them. He shall not return unto the land of Egypt, but the Assyrian shall be his king, because they refuse to return. And the sword shall abide on his cities, and shall consume his branches, and devour them, because of their own counsels. And my people are bent to backsliding from me, though they call them to the Most High. None at all would exalt him. How shall I give thee up, Ephraim? How shall I deliver thee, Israel? How shall I make thee as Admah? How shall I set thee as Zeboim? Mine heart is turned within me. My repentings are kindled together. I will not execute the fierceness of mine anger. I will not return to destroy Ephraim. For I am God and not man, the Holy One in the midst of thee, and I will not enter into the city. They shall walk after the Lord. He shall roar like a lion. When he shall roar, then the children shall tremble from the west. They shall tremble as a bird out of Egypt, and as a dove out of the land of Assyria. And I will place them in their houses, saith the Lord. Ephraim compassed me about with lies, and the house of Israel with deceit. But Judah yet ruleth with God, and is faithful with the saints. Thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord, thy goodness over each and every one of us cannot be so fully known in this life. It cannot be expressed by the mouth of thy children when they may experience it a little bit in this world. For then the heart sees what the tongue is not able to declare, and it will take a great eternity for thy name to receive its honor and its glory. In the perfection of the condition and the state of the life of thy children, When the heart shall be able to express itself, and when thy name may be glorified truly to the highest. Thy servant did say, thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was to me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. All the lot to me that fell is beautiful and fair. O Lord, that thou may give in the hearts of thy children truly an acknowledgement for thy great goodness, that more and more they may flee from all the temptations of the flesh, that they may die more and more to all that is here below. That their heart, their treasure, may be more and more in heaven, and that they may be looking further and more to that day with desire and with longing, that they may put away all that does hinder, and that they may be received in that blessed communion with thee. Oh, then it is necessary that they be established in grace. Oh, let thou would do it for thy name's sake, for the publishing of thy goodness and of thy grace in the midst of the church here below, that it may go out as a word unto others, with a savor and with a drawing, that others also may hear and may fear, and that they may come with all the desires also of their hearts. O Lord, that thou may give that true humility in the life of thine own, and because what maketh us to differ from another, oh, it is only thy distinguishing grace. Oh, that thou may give an eye to behold it, and that the hearts may be so truly bowed before thee, that we may humble ourselves in dust and in ashes. Oh, do give more of an eye to behold thy dear Son in all the blessedness of the work that he has performed here below, and the great humiliation that he has endured, and that he has given himself even unto the death of the cross. Oh, who can fathom the greatness of thy love? Oh, Lord, that we may see and that we may feel, and that our hearts may be given to receive the blessed profit thereof. Wilt thou look also upon those that stand so afar off? For thou knowest those that do yearn for waters from thy fountain. But, then it is not that they are able to take it of them their own selves. Oh, then we have, when it is right, and no feet to go, and we have no hands to take it. O Lord, when thou wilt give it in thy own time, then it shall be received with joy and with pleasure. O that thou wouldst give them then to wait upon thee, for thou dost not make ashamed those that wait on thee. O that thou may give a searching of thy holy truth, that there may be a desire to receive those blessings that we cannot miss, and those blessings that make our hearts to burn. And when there are no such desires in our heart, O Lord, thou dost say to seek ye the Lord while he may be found, and to call upon him while he is near, because thy thoughts, they are not our thoughts, and our ways, they are not thy ways. No, thou dost not think as we do, that it is a hopeless case. Thou dost not think as we do by nature, that it is no use to serve God. O Lord, thou art a compassionate and merciful God. Oh, that thou thyself would open thy word, and wilt thou give that many may desire to seek thee, feeling and knowing that they are without God in the world, and that they miss those greatest blessings that they cannot miss, in order to live in comfort and to die in peace. Oh, remember us as a congregation. It is possible that we are also deceiving ourselves upon that way. Oh Lord, thou knowest the heart and all the secrets that are within, that it is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Oh, and if it is the case of any one of us, could it please thee to open our eyes and to undeceive us before that it is too late? Wilt thou show us the truth concerning ourselves? And wilt thou give the truth concerning thee a place within our soul? Look upon us then in this hour, an hour of reflection concerning thy holy supper in this morning hour. And then it is not only to look back, but it is also to look within and to look up, and to look forward for all that is coming in our life. Oh, that we may hasten then for the sake of our life while it is still called today. Wilt thou remember all those that are afflicted and sick, all that need thee in special ways here below, whether they are children, young people, or older ones. Wilt thou give that all that is experienced in this life, the consequences of our sins, may be as goads in our sides, as pricks that may prick us, that we may be awakened in our death sleep, and that we may consider the need for that great and never-ending eternity. And wilt thou give a place by thee to each and every one, and that we may experience that thou art the true and the living God. Wilt thou increase the number of thy truly sent servants in this world? And when the theological school that has begun again, wilt thou strengthen each and every one of the instructors, and be with the students together in all their needs and cares? And wilt thou help them in their studies as thou alone art able to do? And wilt thou call more to that sacred ministry that are truly converted, wrought upon, and taught, instructed, and called by thee, to be sent forth in the midst of both the established churches and also upon the mission fields? Remember those that do labor also in that regard. Wilt thou be with thy servants? Wilt thou supply for them and their families? And wilt thou bless the labors that are performed? Wilt thou go before all the denominational committees and all those that labor for thy church in behalf thereof? Wilt thou supply for the schools and all that has begun in the week that is gone by? Remember our teachers. Look upon the great need that is upon us when we are attacked also by without. O Lord, it is all in thy hands, but thou knowest that we also stand in need of the finances to be able to run our school. O could it please thee to give unto each and every one the prosperity in the midst of this world, in order that they may be enabled to support the causes of thy holy word, and that thou thyself may give hearts that are open unto these things, because the cattle upon a thousand hills, they are thine. O give us to experience then thy great goodness, thy care, and that we may know And that thy eye that is looking upon us as congregations and also as a denomination, wilt thou supply for all the afflicted church in this world, where they are under persecutions that we know not of, that thou may give strength, that thou may supply in all of these needs. Wilt thou look upon our governments in all the steps thereof, that thou may give men who may rule us according to thy holy word and bring us back unto thy law. Be with those that are placed in the places of the judgment seats, that thou may give thy law to be, as David did say, the meditation of their hearts, and that they may bring it upon the benches also of justice in the midst of our countries, and that we may be brought back to thy word and to thy testimony. Could it please thee to stem the tide of sin that is openly breaking forth in the midst of us, that we may be kept with our children, and that we may be given the true and tender fear of thy holy name, and a readiness to suffer also for thy name's sake. Wilt thou look upon us in this afternoon hour? Wilt thou help us in the bringing forth of thy holy word? Give an opening, give liberty, give ears to hear, give strength for the body. And wilt thou supply for us for the glory of thy name and for the welfare of our poor souls, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 134 all the stanzas. Within thy temple, Lord, in that most holy place, we on thy loving kindness dwell, the wonders of thy grace. And what follows, we announce a male members' meeting is scheduled for this Wednesday evening at 8 o'clock p.m. The consistory has set a duo for deacons, namely Mr. Patrick DeLeo and Mr. Jan van Hagenbos. Reverend Brugge hopes to officiate an English midweek service on Thursday at 7:30 p.m. in the Lethbridge Church. Anyone still wishing to join the confession class, please do so by tomorrow, as we hope to begin on Tuesday, and the last collection today is for the Fort McLeod Building Fund. Psalter 134, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Beloved congregation, we have seen in this morning hour the external evidences of the truth of God's Word, that He has laid meat unto His church. That is, both in the institution, but also in the continuance of his holy sacrament. It is a meat that He says that endureth unto everlasting life. That is food, boys and girls, food that was for Adam and Eve, the same food 6,000 years ago that was eaten by the true church, that is feeding that true church also today. That food that will remain even to the youngest day, to the last day in this world. Neither will the Lord forsake His church ever, because the Lord, He says, I am God and I am not man. Thus, that is the only comfort of that true church as they do go through this world. And as long as the body of sin is still existing in this world, that the Lord, He says, I will not execute the fierceness of my anger. Oh, how the meditation of these things does not kindle the love for that blessed mediator in our hearts. Oh, to see that body of Christ, to see that blood of Christ, both broken and poured out. What an unfathomable wonder that He has humbled Himself so deeply, and that there is yet something provided by the Lord to stem the awful justice of God. That is, congregation, boys and girls, our only hope as we are going through this world. But that is not all, because we have not yet finished with this portion. There is more to this portion. The Lord does not only say what He is not going to do, but the Lord, He also says here what He is going to do. Thus, the benefits, they are multiplied in the life of God's people. Does that ever make you jealous, congregation? Because for the most part, then it is necessary for you to say, I do not know who that this man is, and that the love of Christ that is not living, that is not dwelling, that has not been given, planted in my heart. But there are two ways that we can say this, because it is possible that we say this with a deep grief in our heart. It is possible that we say it with a desire, a longing, a seeking heart, that portion of that church would also become my own. And it is also possible that we say it with such an indifference, which will be our greatest judgment on that great day of days. O congregation, this afternoon, we wish to bring the rest of this portion to your attention. And we hope that it may be for a making jealous of your soul, that you may see how that the benefits of that church, they are multiplied one after the other, and how that the Lord, He has provided for His people a blessing that they have not deserved. No, this is such a beautiful chapter of the Word of God. Why? Because it begins with the Lord. It begins actually in eternity, And do you know where it ends? It ends also with the Lord. It ends also in eternity. And what is in between? There is nothing but the sin of man. We have heard it. There is nothing good to say concerning that church of God, because it is all wanderings even after received grace. Oh, from their side, sinning it away time and time again. But oh, that one name that is given in this chapter to be magnified to the highest in the life of that people, and then the benefits for that church, all because of what He has done. Oh, what the Father has decreed in the beginning, in that never begun eternity, and what the Son that He has done for that sinful church, and what now the benefits are when the Spirit He is applying that work in the life of His people. Oh, the Lord, give us still yet a good hour together in His favor in this afternoon hour. The words of our text, they can be found in Hosea chapter 11. And thereof the 11th verse, and then especially the last words, Hosea 11, verse 11, the last words, "And I will place them in their houses, saith the Lord." So far, the words of our text. The promise of the restoration of God's church. And we wish to see this in three thoughts. First, the natural fulfillment of these words. Second, the spiritual fulfillment. And finally, the final fulfillment. Thus, the promise of the restoration of God's church. First, naturally. Second, spiritually. And third, finally. We read now then in continuance, as we have spoken in this afternoon up to the 9th verse, and then we read in verse 10, "They shall walk after the Lord." Thus the Lord, He says, "I will." And now we read here that the Lord, He says, "They shall." "I will, and they shall." What does that mean? That means that the fruits of the work of the Spirit, they are not doubtful. Young people, how can this be written in the Word of God? If then it is man that must make his own choice by his own spiritual power, then how can it be that the Lord says they shall? Because then the Lord does not know that they shall. No, the Lord says, "I will, and they shall." Why? Because that people, they are indeed a cause, but only a second cause. It is the Lord Himself who is the first cause. And we have heard that the Spirit of the Lord, that is irresistible. And so when the Lord, He is beginning and He is working, then there is no question, there is no resistance that is able to overcome the power of that Spirit of the Lord. Oh, do we ask then? Because we know even in a natural way, you say, "I have a soul." In your soul, what is that? That is partially the mind, but also the affections and your will. Oh, you say, young people, "My will." What is my will? What are your affections? What are they going out after? Oh, you say, "They do not love the Lord." No, we do not love the Lord. Say, how can that change? Can that change? Oh, that can change. The Lord, He is so almighty. The Lord, He is so powerful. Oh, bow your knees. Go in your inner chamber. Oh, say, Lord, take my affections and make them to draw nigh unto Thee, to go out after Thee, as so that I shall. Because when Thou wilt, O Lord, then Thy word that says that I shall. That is the prayer. That is the seeking of those who do not stand by in just carelessness in this morning hour, in your seats. No. That is the cry of those whose heart that is going out after the Lord, even though you must say that you are now missing everything that you stand in need of. They shall walk after the Lord. What is it? It is a picture of people, persons, they are following. It says they shall walk after. So they are following a leader. And they are walking after whom? It says they are walking after the Lord. They are walking after Jehovah. That is so different now, as is pictured in this chapter. As he speaks to a people who partially have gone into captivity already, a people that are also going to have to go because of the more deportations that are coming into that land. Thus, some already taken away because of their disobedience. Others, they are ready to be taken away. Why? They had left the Lord. The Lord, He gives them over into the hands of the enemy. No, He will not destroy them. What does He say? In the end, He says, "And I will not enter into the city." What does that mean? What did the soldiers do, children, when they came against a city and they set up bulwarks and they would take down the walls of that city? And once that the walls came tumbling down, then they would enter into that city. And then they would destroy, then they would kill all those who would not let them into their gates. Then those soldiers, they were given the permission by their rulers to go and to vent all of their frustration and all of their anger upon that people. That's what it means to go into the city. And all the Lord, although that the Lord says that He is going to afflict that people because of the sin, yet He says He will not enter into that city. He is not going to completely destroy them. But now He says even more. Because now He begins to speak about the actual restoration of that city. He says, they shall walk after the Lord. So He pictures that people again in their own land. He pictures that people, everyone walking after the Lord, everyone walking in that way of obedience, in the way that they ought to be walking. Thus, they have been brought out of their captivity, and the lessons that the Lord has instructed His people in, when they have chosen once again the ways of sin in their life, when they have gone out after the idols, even after received grace, when they have left the Lord days without number, and when the Lord, He has hid His face from His people, and when the Lord, He has brought that people again, once again, into His favor, into His communion, then the lessons, they have been learned, as it were, by the people. And now they are brought into that way of obedience, like you children, right? If your mother and father punish you, then you listen afterwards, right? That is the benefit, that is the fruit of discipline. They shall walk after the Lord. And how does that come about? Then he says, They shall walk after the Lord. He shall roar like a lion. When he shall roar, then the children shall tremble from the west. They shall tremble as a bird out of Egypt and as a dove out of the land of Assyria. Thus he shall roar like a lion. Who shall roar? That is Christ himself. Because he is, we read in God's word, the lion of the tribe of Judah. And a lion, when he roars, children, then he roars, and that is so loud in that forest. That is the king of the forest. And that roar of that lion that is heard for miles through that forest. Thus we hear now the voice of the Lord that is going to go out as a trumpet. And Hosea, he is prophesying here about the future, because that word of the Lord, the gospel of the Lord, that is going to go out and is going to be heard all over this world. Joel, he speaks about it. He says that the Lord also shall roar out of Zion, and he shall utter his voice from Jerusalem. So that call that is going to go out unto the far corners of this world, also unto the heathen. We read in the book of Revelations that the Lord, he cried with a loud voice as when a lion roareth. And after he had cried, we read, then the seven thunders, they uttered their voices. Thus, he shall roar like a lion. That roaring, that is also going to have effects. It's going to have fruits. What do we read? The fruit of that will be a trembling. Then the children shall tremble from the west. They shall tremble as a bird out of Egypt. What kind of trembling does the preaching of the word work? Do you ever tremble? Did you ever go out of the house of the Lord? And did you ever tremble? Did you ever tremble when you are lying on your bed in the evening, children, young people? Tremble because of the word of the Lord? What is necessary for that? That a person would tremble. Can I make yourself tremble? Can you? But what is necessary in order to make a person tremble? Faith. Faith. You must believe it. I think, children, if the doctor said you have a serious disease, maybe if you had the same news as Reverend Vogelaar this week, then you would tremble. Why? Because you believe that doctor. You know, we read about King Darius, how that he said that all of his nations, everyone in his kingdom, they are to fear and they are to tremble before that God of Daniel. Tremble. What does that mean? They are to believe the word of that God, because that word is true. And when he brings his judgments and he speaks his judgments, then those judgments, they will actually come. It is the very accusation of the Lord against his own people, that they did not tremble, that the prophets brought that holy word, and the Lord says, "Fear ye not me, saith the Lord. Will ye not tremble at my presence? Will you not tremble at my word?" Thus the trembling that belongs to the fear of the Lord. And trembling is the fruit of true saving faith that is worked by the Spirit of the Lord. And that is a trembling, and that is the fruit of the preaching of the word. Thus, congregation, that question that is coming to us, did we ever tremble? They shall tremble. Who is that that shall tremble? It says that the children shall tremble. You ever tremble then, children? What children are these speaking about? It is actually speaking about the Lord's children. It is speaking about the elect children, the child of God. When the Lord, He will give His Spirit, and when they are wrought upon, then they shall tremble. That word, this word, is a great comfort to the remnant that was in the land of Israel. We have to remember that the children of Israel, they have largely as a people departed from the service of the Lord. They are serving the calves in Dan and in Bethel. They have rejected David as their king and Christ as the son of David. Thus they have left the true worship of the Lord. But in Israel, there were those who feared the Lord. There was a remnant among that children of Israel. And that remnant, they received a great comfort in these words of Hosea. Who are that remnant? They are they who themselves trembled at the word of the Lord. They are those who mourned. They mourned for the state and for the condition of Zion. Jeremiah, he says, "Mine eye runneth down with rivers of water because of the destruction of the daughter of my people." Thus he mourned that people did not tremble. What does David say? He says, he said that my eye, he said, rivers of water run down mine eyes. Why? Because they keep not thy law. The people, they do not tremble. And the hearts of that true remnant among them, they were trembling for the word of the Lord. And they were trembling even because that nation that had left so far, and they did not tremble. But now the Lord says, He says, the children shall tremble. And thus that remnant, oh, that is food to them. That is a matter of rejoicing to them. That is an answer to their supplications in their inner chambers. Where the Lord, He says to them that there are still those who are elect. There are still those who are going to be brought in and who are going to tremble at my word. And now he speaks about this trembling in two different places. What are they? They are the east and the west. In the first place, he says, "Then the children shall tremble from the west. They shall tremble as a bird out of Egypt." Now the word west, that actually means the sea. The sea, the Mediterranean Sea, the great sea for them in the land of Canaan, that was to the west, even as Egypt was to the west. And that place is the place we know that after Christ came into the world, that the word of God that has gone out in a large part to Asia Minor, it has gone out unto that west. So it is speaking about the conversion of the Gentiles. It is speaking about that church, that new church that is going to be brought in. That is the promise of the Lord, that people from the west, that those heathen nations, those Gentiles, that they are going to tremble and that they are going to fly, it says, as a bird out of Egypt. So they will come flying unto the land of Canaan, as it were. They are going to come flying unto the Lord. And He says, as a dove out of the land of Assyria. Now, the land of Assyria is where, boys and girls? The land of Assyria, that Assyria is to the east. Thus, that was just on the opposite side. And where was what was that place? Well, that was just the place that the Lord said he was going to send his people who had disobeyed him. He said, as we heard this morning, the Assyrian shall be their king. And thus, that was a people who had disobeyed the Lord after he had delivered them out of that land of Egypt, walking after their idols. And the Lord, he had sent them because they had wandered after that sin again. He had sent them and an affliction hid his face from them. And he made them to cry out in their bondage. And now the Lord, he speaks about these two groups. That is the one, the new converts, as it were, that he was going to bring in when he shall roar like a lion. And that word that will go out into all the world, and new ones will be brought in. And at the same time, it is going to be the old backsliders, those who had been brought in by him and who wandered away from him. And the Lord, he was going to make them to tremble again and to fly unto him as a dove out of the land of Assyria. So these two groups, the Lord is going to bring them now together, and they are going to be one people. They are going to be one church. And then the Lord, then comes our text. What does the Lord say? He says, and I will place them in their houses, saith the Lord. He says, I will bring them together, and I'm going to make them to dwell in their houses. I am going to give them a settled resting place. Blessed picture. Because to be placed in your house, that is a picture of rest. That is a picture of peace. The Bible says, every man sitting under his vine, every man sitting under his own fig tree, and no one can make them afraid, because the Lord, he is keeping all the enemy away from his people. And then the people, they are all walking after the Lord. They're all walking in obedience unto him as they ought to. Oh, there is nothing more to be desired than such a harmony, such a peace, such a blessed obedience, such a blessed communion with the Lord, his blessing upon it, his protection of that people. The prophecy, but we go quickly to our second thought, that is that spiritual meaning. And I will place them in their houses, saith the Lord. Thus, the Lord promises the complete restoration of his church. Thus, the Lord does not say, well, I am just going to spare my people, and I am not going to come in the city, but I will just leave them there in a half-dead condition, as it were. No. But the Lord says, it is not something that I am just going to refrain from doing, but it is a work that I am going to do. And I am not just going to leave them there, no, but I am actually going to restore that people into a blessed communion, into my blessed favor. Thus, the Lord, he promises something to his people. Know what it is, young people? You're a step ahead of me. What is the Lord promising to his people? You say the Lord is promising to his people rest. He is promising to his people peace. Is that not a wonder? Is that not a wonder? Do you have rest in your heart? Would you have rest in your heart if you had received such a message as God's servant received in this week? Would you have such a rest in your heart? Oh, he may have. He may be in such a good place for himself that is such a wonder, people of the Lord. But where now was the first unrest? The first unrest that came into this world. No children? Adam and Eve, when they were created, there was a rest, wasn't there? Beautiful, in the garden. And now I see them hiding. Hiding. Hiding? From whom? From God. Unrest in their soul. Where did that come from? You know. Sin. Sin. What is the unrest, congregation, that is living in our heart? We can try to cover it up. You ever have the fear of death? Maybe when you go to bed at night, then you have thoughts, you say, what if I did not wake in the morning? And then you come up in the morning, maybe you have such thoughts, and then you go about your day, you fill it with everything. So, yeah. Oh, there was a little girl in one of my classes when I was a teacher in New Jersey, children. And she said to me, I am so often afraid to die. She says, my mother said, don't think about it. Oh, is that a good thing? Don't think about it? No, that is what we do, to cover it up. But it cannot go away. No, there is unrest. Do you know why there is unrest? There is unrest because we are no longer in that same state that we were created in. It was a state of communion. It was a state of rest. It was a state of peace in our soul, between God and our soul. The affections, they all went out to God. The will that was so completely in agreement with the will of the Lord. The mind that was so completely directed unto Him, all perfectly functioning together, that man, as the crown of the creation of God, may commune with Him. Oh, blessed, blessed state that was. There was no sin, there was no unrest, there was nothing to make our first parents afraid before that sin came into this world. And afterwards, we live in a world of unrest, but we live with a heart also that has unrest in it. And we try to cover it. We try to push it away. In a natural way, it is coming up time and time again. O congregation, O the Lord give you unrest. May the Lord truly give that our soul could never have peace, and that we may not push away our sin and the awful condition that we are living in by nature. Why? Because when you push it away, children, you do not think about it. That is not the solution. No. Do you know what our fathers say? They say there is one comfort. One comfort in life and in death. That is to know that I am not my own, but that I belong unto my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. Oh, and now we have seen something of that in this morning, because that Savior, that sacrifice that is able to take away unrest, that is what we read here. The Lord, by this food, by this meat, He will take away that unrest. That is the first unrest. That is the people who are going to be trembling and flying to Him, the new converts. They're going to fly unto Him from the west. And the Lord, He is going to give them a house. It says, and I will place them in their houses. And then that backsliding people, the Lord is going to roar. They're going to tremble again. Oh, he is going to wake them up, as it were. And he is going to bring them again with weeping and with supplications. It is an unrest in their heart that is even greater than the unrest of that first unrest that they have experienced, because it is a sin against received grace. And oh, that sin that is making that people to fear, that because they have sinned against that received grace, that they have forever sinned themselves out of the mercy and of the grace of God. Oh, then they say, oh, I so deserve that the Lord would never, ever look upon me again. And even to that people, the Lord, he says, and I will place them in their houses, saith the Lord. That is a settled dwelling place. It's not a tent. No, it is a settled dwelling place. That is speaking about the permanency of the rest that the true church of God is receiving by a true faith in that blessed Son of God. Oh, then they receive a rest in their soul. And the Lord says, that rest that is such a rest as when he would be placing them in their houses, the holy supper of the Lord that is intended by the Lord as a seal. We heard it this morning, as a seal. That people, that they may know that it is from God himself, that it has his authority, and that it is spoken as an oath that he has spoken in his own name, because he can swear by no greater than therefore he has sworn by himself, in order that soul that may rest in him. Oh, may you experience it just a little bit, people of the Lord, even at the table of the Lord, to savor those good ointments of the Lord. But we better sing. Psalter 30, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. To thee, O Lord, I fly, and on thy help depend. Thou art my Lord and King most high. Do thou my soul defend. And what follows in stanzas 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 30. promise of the restoration of God's church. Our third thought, the final fulfillment, the soul rest and the peace that is experienced here below. If you ask God's children, they will tell you, and that is just by moments. Just by moments when the Lord is giving to them a special moment, often in God's house, at the holy table of the Lord, perhaps another blessed view of that sacrifice by faith. And that's why that the Lord's Supper that is continually commemorated. Why? Because of the lack of the permanency of not that peace, not that faith, not that rest by faith. Because if you will ask the people in the exercise of faith, if that rest is a permanent rest, oh, then they will say it is. Then they will say it is. But what is not permanent? What is not permanent is the exercises of that faith. Thus, that is going up and down in the life of God's people. And they receive a little sip from time to time from those waters, those living waters out of the fountain of the Lord. And then they experience in that moment that peace that is like a river, we read in the Word of God. What a blessed communion that is. The communion, as it were, between a bride and the bridegroom. When they may go now unto their own house, when they may just be together in a settled house, the communion that is with God Himself. I spoke to Reverend Vogelaar yesterday, and do you know what he asked me? He said, "Do not ask that the Lord makes me better again." He said, "Will you ask that the Lord may keep me close to Him? Close to Him." Yes, congregation. Why? Because God's Word that says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." That is now that perfect peace. Do you desire that peace? That is what we were created in. That is what we were created for, as the image bearers of God Himself. And that is what we have lost. Oh, do you feel that? You say, without God in the world, without God, then we can have all the riches, most beautiful home, most beautiful car, all those things. And without God in the world, did that ever become, congregation, your burden? We can't pretend it is different. We can't even come even to that holy supper of the Lord. But when it is not true in our hearts, do you know what we cannot receive? Then we cannot receive that communion. No, then it is only to us as a judgment. It is only to us as a continual hardening when we will continue in that way. Because there is no communion to be received outside, say, attendance at the Lord's Supper. No. There is no communion with the Lord to be received outside of true saving faith. Without this, then everything remains carnal. But the Lord, He says, "I will place them in their houses." Oh, there is nothing so to be sought, people of the Lord, as the assurance of that grace, the assurance of that salvation. Why? Because that is now giving the rest. That is now giving the peace that is through every trial, that is through every affliction in this life. And yet even then, there is no heaven upon the earth. Little tastes, but heaven is not here below. It can never be perfect here below. Why not? Because faith that is always subject to assaults. Assaults. Why? Because it is not yet a church triumphant, but it is a church militant. And thus there are assaults. And so that the final fulfillment, there can be nothing else than what we read Paul speaks about, there remaineth a rest unto the people of God. What did the Lord Jesus say to his disciples? In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. What does he desire? Oh, he desires the communion with his own people. That is now the final rest in the everlasting habitations of the true church of God. Oh, death, that is no punishment for God's people. That is impossible. They cannot be punished. Why, children? Because that blood, because that punishment, oh, that is all done for that people already. And so even death that they also must go through, that has been changed for them. It is no more a punishment, but now it is but a translation. A translation. Or what does Isaiah say? He says, the righteous perisheth, and no man layeth it to heart, none considering that the righteous is taken away from the judgment to come. He says what? He says, he shall enter into peace. They shall rest in their beds. They shall rest in their graves. How many graves do we read an epitaph? Here rests. Here rests. O congregation, we need to be careful, because there is only one people that are resting in their beds, and that is that true church. And they are waiting. They are waiting because they have entered into peace, but they are waiting now for their own bodies to be delivered out of that grave. Oh, then shall be the final deliverance for that people. They are delivered from all their natural enemies. They are delivered from all their spiritual enemies. They are delivered from sin. 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 And they may bask in that blessed communion of that Lamb. They may bask in the communion, not only of their Maker, but they may bask in the communion also of their Redeemer. Not just as two friends, as it would have been by that first covenant, but now as a bride and as a bridegroom. Because that bridegroom, he says unto her, behold, I am married unto you, and I will place them in their houses, saith the Lord. When he says, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. No more wanderings, people of the Lord. No more wanderings. No more desires to go back into Egypt. Oh, no more idols. Ephraim shall say, what have I any more to do with idols? No more slumbering, but they shall walk after the Lord. Oh, they shall serve him day and night in his temple. David, he brought Mephibosheth. He says, you will sit here at my table. That lame man. What did Mephibosheth say? He said, what is thy servant? That thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am. All that was, that is the humility, that grace and the mercy of the Lord is giving in the heart of that people. Do you know something? That Mephibosheth, he remained a lame man. A lame man all the days of his life. That is now the church militant. All they remain lame congregation on both their feet. But that is not true of the church triumphant. Because of that people we read that the lame man, he shall leap as an hart. And the tongue of the dumb, he shall sing. And the lamb that is in the midst of the throne, he shall feed them. And he shall lead them. And they shall walk after the Lord. And he shall lead them unto living fountains of waters. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. O congregation, what can we say more as a human being? We cannot enter into those things that are laid away for the true people of the Lord. Oh, the Lord give that holy jealousy in the heart of young and old, that we may seek, the Lord with all our heart, with all our might, with all our strength. Remember me, O Lord, with that favor that thou bearest unto thy people. O visit me with thy salvation. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, thou alone can bring it in our hearts. O Lord, wilt thou thyself draw? Draw with the cords of a man, do draw with the bands of love. And wilt thou give a walking after thee, a seeking after thee, for the blessings that are still to be obtained while that we still live. Give thy word a place this day and thy holy sacrament in the heart of each and every one of us. Look upon us further in this day and in the week that lies before us. Spare each and every one from a sudden and from an unprepared death. Oh, keep us from the sin of the land of Egypt, that we may desire to separate ourselves and to walk after the Lord. Oh, we hope also to meet as a male with the male members, O Lord, in this week. And thou knowest all our needs. Oh, we ask of thee in a special way that thou may remember us as a church, that thou may give us a man who may help, a man who may serve also this congregation. Oh, that thou may show which of these two that thou hast chosen, and wilt thou give the inclination of the heart, that there may be a desire and that there may be a willingness also to serve in thy church. Thou alone art able to do it. O Lord, we remember us, young and old. Forgive, take away our many sins, and we may acknowledge thee for the strength that thou hast given unto us after all our many fears. O Lord, wilt thou receive all the honor and all the glory. Forgive, forgive, forgive all our sins in the precious and all atoning blood of thy dear, dear Son, for Jesus' sake. Amen. 53, 1 through 5. The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me down to lie in pastures green, he leadeth me. The Quiet Waters by 1 through 5 of Psalter 53.
Thank you.
receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.